What would you do if you got scammed? Would you suffer in silence, or would you do something about it? Well, I got scammed once, and this is the story of what I did. I'm Justin Sales, the host of The Wedding Scammer, a true crime podcast from The Ringer. And for 7 episodes, we're hunting a con man, a guy with a lot of aliases, a guy who's ruined a lot of weddings. And with the help of some friends, I just might be able to catch him. Listen to The Wedding Scammer starting October 17th.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This just in, 0101, the Jams. We're all talking sports cards all day, all night. You're here with Sports Boy and the Geo. Mike, hit him with the action topic of the day.
I wonder if anybody's still listening. I said hold it for a second because like my internet is running like filth in here.
I don't care what your internet's doing. We've had the last 30, 45 minutes to get ready. Guys, you should know that Sports Boy and Mikey Boy went to a concert last night, and it was a heck of a thing. I feel like there'd be a lot of judgment if people knew where we were at. But I'll tell you, it was a symphony of Taylor Swift music.
String quartet. Four piece.
I don't know what you guys feel about that. I will say that as a Swift fan,
well,
they took,
us, yeah, I would say. It's not like we went on a date, me and you or something. We took our wife. My wife likes Taylor Swift.
That would have been pretty funny if people just caught us there, just together, sitting there, just jamming out, singing all the songs.
Sure.
The real positive note is where it was at. It was at the Parthenon in Nashville. If you guys ever come to visit Nashville, it's one of the side quests to go on to.
I proposed there, 2008.
Engagement photos there.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, really? There you go.
We said this last night, and I
did not hear you.
I know. I spoke. That's how I knew you didn't hear me. See what I did in there? Slight to you. Makes me look like the good guy. Anyway, so we did all that, and we came back this morning ready, raring to go. We have a number of topics to talk to you about. Foosball was a big topic. I think this is where we're going to start, somewhere in that vicinity. Mike, as usual, likes to come in, write down a topic, and then not tell me what it is. So I guess we'll start there. Card guys are terrible sports fans.
There are so many stupid people in the hobby. It's unbelievable.
Starting off
not
on
everybody.
A positive
Some
note.
People are fine and normal, yep. But there are so many dummies. The amount of stupid cardboard collectors yesterday. Take number one, Brock Purdy knew it was coming. This is why I never bought his stuff. He's terrible. Can't play in the rain.
Are you reading this?
Overrated, you know. No better than Trey Lance. Can't
Who
beat
said
the Browns.
That?
I mean, social media yesterday with cards, stupid people was just blowing up. And then last night, even same thing. Well, you know, Jalen Hurts. Here we go. The Jalen Hurts stuff is more offensive than anything. He has led that team to a Super Bowl. I know Philly is a crap city and you have nothing to do but complain about teams. But what are you doing? And I don't even think it's Philly people. It's literally just cardboard people. This is why he doesn't sell like Burrow.
Yep. Okay.
He'll never be Joe. But Mahomes is still the GOAT. Okay, couple things. No matter what happened yesterday, Mahomes is still the best player in football. Did not matter what happened yesterday.
Okay.
However, anybody stupid enough to think that this should impact It is never going to happen, by the way, because these same idiots who do this thing about how Jalen Hurts is so overrated, you know, look what happens when things aren't perfect, when he faces some pressure. Put your money where your mouth is then. Sell me your Jalen Hurts cards. If you think he is that bad, that overrated, he had a horrible game. No problem. The Jets have a very good defense. They still should have beat the Jets. There's no reason to be losing to Zach Wilson. What does it matter? Every single quarterback, every single year in the modern era, aside from 2007, has lost a game in the regular season.
Oh, is that's that true?
Simple as that. They all lose. Mahomes lost game one this year to the freaking Lions, who are actually playing very well.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter. He lost a game. Brady, aside from that one season, lost at least a game every single year. Peyton Manning, Rodgers, Breeze, none of these guys have ever had undefeated seasons. Why is there the need for idiots to think this should somehow, and again, the Jalen Hurts stuff was much quieter, but just as embarrassing. The Brock Purdy stuff, what are we talking about? Trent Williams missed time yesterday during the game. He lost Christian McCaffrey. He lost Deebo Samuel. And guess what? At the very end of that game, he played pretty bad, by the way. I think it was very underwhelming the whole game. At the very end of the game, he let him down the field for a 41-yard field goal that the guy pushed. Like, simple as that. The kicker makes that kick, and it's like, okay, he played a crap game, but they still won. They're still undefeated. What else is he supposed to do there? He had a bad game. Same thing, by the way. If you're a Purdy guy who's like, hey, he's terrible, we knew this was coming, sell me your Brock Purdy stuff at a very nice discount because he's so terrible. They won't do it.
I've got good news for you. They will do it, and they are doing it. Some people are doing it, at least.
Bozos, man. This is his first game he's ever lost in the as a starting quarterback.
I know, and yet—
significant injuries.
And yet there are people dropping his cards like it's hot. I looked at his silvers. So a silver tin of Purdy's was doing, late last week, $1,300. Someone immediately went out and sold one for $855.
No sales between.
There's been no sale at a 10. There's been a PSA 9 that has since sold, but that was an auto, so it doesn't count.
Like, are the 49ers still not the top, if not the odds-on favorite, a top three at worst to win the Super Bowl? And guess what? They're going to do that with him at the helm. What is wrong with cards? I honestly don't understand. It's like there's just this hatred because he's so expensive and people think they know better.
But I don't think it's all card guys. You could probably say the same thing about like sports guys, fantasy guys, anybody who relies or sees value in somebody that they either have FOMO for because they can't have it or they don't have it and they want it. Or it's just another situation where they have a hometown bias. Their quarterback's the best. Everybody else sucks, and that includes Purdy, no matter how good he is. So I don't know. It just kind of comes with the territory, I feel like, at this point. But it is – I actually expected to see more. I have not seen quite as bad of a beating towards the Purdy fans as I would have expected. That being said, there was a pretty good – there's some good memes in the Facebook group. One was like it was just a picture of Peterman. Do you remember Jordan Peterman?
He plays for the Bills now.
Or I'm sorry, Nathan Peterman. Yes, excuse me. It was like a picture of Nathan Peterman. It just said Purdy without McCaffrey or Deebo or something like that. It was pretty good.
The guy had a bad... To their credit, the majority of people on ESPN and actual sports casting, sports talk radio, all that stuff that I've listened to over the past 7 hours. I listened to a ton this morning, watched ESPN, Get Up, all that stuff. Almost nobody there was absolutely just like, well, we knew this was coming. Most people there are like, yep, it's a bad game.
Yeah.
Sports fans in general, I think, know what they're watching for the most part. Card guys, though, I don't understand. I don't know if they've never seen him play, if they just have no knowledge of the game at all, if they're just simply butthurt because they didn't buy his stuff and then cash out and make a bunch of money. I have no idea. But the guy lost a road game in crappy weather where he lost three significant players to injury. So what?
But
ridiculous.
I honestly view it as a great thing because it is, this was a segment that I had built in later in the show, but it was taking advantage of the correction. And this is a perfect example of that because inevitably there will be the other side of the coin who they will drop everything as soon as they see one bad piece of news. And that is, I mean, honestly, the guy who bought that at $855, I think he did one of the best investments he could have in this NFL season. It just seems like there's going to be a correction every time, right? And a lot of times it's an overcorrection at first. If you're the first one there, you can take advantage.
Mark it down. Eddie, are you going to be here next Monday or no? Who's producing next Monday's show?
I'll be here next Monday.
All right, Eddie, write this down. Grab some pen, paper. I don't know if you young guys still have that. You put on a tablet if you want.
Eddie, do you even have a pen anywhere near
There's
you?
There's no chance.
Not in my desk.
I knew it.
Make a note of this on your computer.
At his desk, pull he up, said. Not up, at his desk. That's notes. Where you would have a pen.
Here we go.
But I get it.
Prediction for Sunday. I believe the Niners are playing the Vikings on Sunday. Brock Purdy, 65% completion percentage, 300 plus yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Boom. Lock of the week.
There that's you go. A tough. That's actually a pretty tough lock. I don't know if I'm going to go that lock far in, but okay, that's good.
And what do we see next week? Look at all these idiots who panicked last week. I'll buy your Purdy stuff in the meantime, by the way. There you go. That's it. That's my Brock Purdy pump. People are dumb. Nobody cares.
Here's a question then. Let's go to just NFL in general. We talked about Hurts and we talked about Purdy, but are there any QBs at this point that have been, because we already talked about this in the last couple episodes, where we've seen a real decrease, a very steep decrease in a lot of them. Is there anybody that's so low right now that it's worth buying?
Tua, only guy.
But he's actually still up, though. He's like the only guy who's actually up.
They
were compared.
Down 14-0 yesterday. They come back and outscore 42-7. Tua.
But I mean, it was the Panthers, though. I mean,
42-7? I don't care who it is.
I mean,
ridiculous. He's done it every game.
They didn't. They was 42-21.
Right. They were down 14-0. They came back and outscored 42-7. That's ridiculous.
I understand what you're saying. Okay.
That offense is unbelievable. And I hope these useless little murmuring rumors that are not true, I would love them to be true. That Gronkowski goes there to play tight end for the rest of the year.
That is not a thing, is it?
Saw a tweet by a couple people. Speculation. I would love that. That guy, team is loaded. I would still buy Tua. Absolutely.
Were the guys tweeting this the same guys who went out and talked about Purdy being terrible?
They would never do that.
They would never do that? Okay.
Other than that, no. I'm still not buying a lot of quarterbacks. Like, Mahomes is still high.
The only thing is like, we are still in the world where Justin Herbert outsells the majority of other quarterbacks. And I just think that there's a lot of guys that are so far down, it's not a terrible idea to start looking at.
I am curious. Who is on your list?
Jalen Hurts, for one, is on that list. He is $99 for a PSA 10 of his. The fact is there's just a low enough pop count that I don't think that's a crazy investment. I don't think you are going to get yourself hurt too bad, even if he doesn't, you know, go to the Super Bowl again this year. I don't think he's going to drop a whole lot more than that. Because you've seen some spikes where someone just rabbit sold that card to get rid of it. It dropped real quick and it immediately bounces back. It just makes me think that there's a big enough fan base that wants that card. Then there's also the Dak Prescott. Here's the thing. Dak got sold so hard after that. I know it wasn't good. I know he did not perform well. But
this is like a 10-year career with him. 8 years in, 9 years in.
Did like that last year? They did pretty well up until this game. I think a lot of people were had very high hopes for this season. And I think that a lot of people still do after they overlook some things. That being said, not even talking about the actual real world games, but the card market, because we know that can be different sometimes. I do foresee a world where there's enough people who think that he could bounce back and do well, that they will go out and buy that card, even if they're not a big fan of him because of how far it dropped. The card was selling for $172 for a 2016 Prism Silver. It's silver because they didn't have any base. So $172 on October 8th.
PSA 10?
PSA 10, yes. Drops to $91.
Still overpriced.
And then someone came in, bought that, and then bought another one for $131 right after that. I think there's a lot of people who are getting at card shows, because we'll talk about that too. We went to a card show this weekend. I think there's a lot of people who are getting in at much lower than $131, much probably even lower than $100 in a lot of cases. If you can get that card for less than $100, there's only 1,400 of them. I don't know. I honestly do think that he is not. He is one of those quarterbacks who will not be an all-time great, but he will do well enough to propel his prices back up higher again.
What are you basing this on? Like, what have you seen from him that makes you think in the past?
I mean,
aside from winning one playoff game last year, what else has he ever done? That's why I have trouble with this take.
So go earlier in the season, right? He was actually looking pretty decent. The first few games, the first three games, I think a lot of guys were expecting really big things from the Cowboys.
Okay, two separate issues. The Cowboys had the number one defense in football and pitched back-to-back shutouts. So, I'm not sure.
So what do you say?
Dak.
I know, but the fact that they still won, a quarterback's pricing can still go up, even though even if he performed average and the team did well. I'm just saying, like, as far as
I don't know when that's happened, though. That's what I'm asking. When has that happened at a quarter?
Look at the pricing this year. Earlier this year, his pricing was going up. He was down until they started winning. And then all of a sudden, his pricing starts going up. Obviously, there's a correlation.
Hmm.
I mean, you don't have to buy into this.
No, I don't. But I'm also, when you're saying some of these things as statements, I'm trying to press back because I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly.
So he starts off the season. When was the first game of the season? Early September, right?
Early September. Let's go September 1. It was later than that, but sure.
All right. So.
So give me some
sale,
pricing.
Let's see. $180.
Oh, are we wrong? Oh, no. Sorry. Go ahead.
$180.
What date?
That was September 3rd.
Okay. September 2nd. Leading up to week one. Okay.
Yep. All right. So he has a couple up and down, up, down. Then he starts going up first few games. First game. Looks like the 11th goes up to $200. 17th, next weekend, goes up to $209 on the 18th of September. 21st, $210. 23rd, $200. And then starts losing. Drops down to $188. Drops down to $142. Bounces back, $161, $172. And then that terrible loss last week that dropped him down to $91. I'm just
so
saying,
he is less than half of what he was after week three of the season. He was averaging $200. Now he's averaging 100.
Exactly. I mean, if there is not a world where you believe the card is going to drop, right? We all know the card's going to drop. It's the overcorrection. It has to drop, but does it have to drop that much? Obviously, it didn't because someone immediately bought back in at 131. That's the only case I'm making. The point I'm making is that he is good enough to win games, and therefore card pricing will go up. And if it's this low already, then it makes sense that he could be a decent investment. I wouldn't sell a Dak Prescott card at this value. I would give it at least a few more games,
I think,
give him an opportunity.
I think that's a fair argument. If I have Dak stuff, I wouldn't sell it. I would not go buy it. I don't have enough faith.
I mean, if you can get him for under $100...
Again, I just go back historically. What has he ever done after momentary spikes in seasons? Because I've seen momentary before. I've never seen prolonged. And we've already seen his momentary spike. I think that was it.
Okay.
That's my fear. And that's like, I guess that's my concern. What is the next step for him where he's going to be?
You know what? We can have the conversation on Thursday because he's going to play tonight versus the Chargers. We'll just see how they do. Maybe it's a complete...
And I think
domination.
He's another player too. I think scares the market away because he does this every year. He gives you a couple games. You're like, well, maybe, and then it's like just very mediocre. And I just think it's going to take so much time to recover.
Okay.
So if we're saying the last couple sales, so what is the average of the last five sales then?
I don't know. Let me.
Yeah, let's because I want average because I don't want like the one offs and the ones the one high. I don't want to count the one high.
Yeah.
So just throw me the last five numbers.
The last five numbers: 131.
Most recently, 131.
Uh huh.
Okay.
91.
Okay.
172. 161. 142.
Divided by five. 139 average.
Okay.
So that's your buy-in price right now.
I literally said if I could get him for less than $100. So
no, I'm just saying that is the average right now, though.
Yeah.
So because even if we throw off the 91,
sure. If you want to take just the last five, you could say that is the average. I don't know if that's your buy-in price, but yeah,
because the last one was 131.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
So that's the number I'm going to base it off of. $130. I'm going to say the 170 was probably high and the 90 was probably low. So what's in the middle of the 130 that we just saw? I do. I would bet against that number, I guess, going forward. That would be my point.
Going forward,
yep.
Why arbitrarily just take the last five sales, though?
Because it's the most recent, right?
I know, but why just the last five sales? Why not go back further?
Because that's what I can get it for today.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. $200 is not relevant today.
Okay.
Because I can buy it for much less than that.
Sure.
What can I buy it for today?
Yeah.
130.
Okay.
I think 130 is average. I don't think many people are going to sell for 100 right now. It certainly doesn't prove that. We only have one in the $100 range. So let's say even a little bit less. We'll give you a little bit of leeway. $120. If I'm basing that number in my head, would I buy the Dak card for $120? My answer would be no.
Okay.
I do. I fear Dak because we see it so often with him, you know?
But you know why we see the pricing? We have a conversation like this where pricing goes down. It's because it inevitably seems to go back up a lot of times.
He's also way down from last year, though.
But everything's way down from last year. That's hard to say what is actually true based on performance.
Sure. That's why I just want to hold it to the fire, though. I am curious because I'm very staunch against this.
Okay. What are you very staunch for so we can hold you to the fire?
If you bought him today at 120, there's not going to be an opportunity to make real money.
At 120?
I mean, I'm giving you a little leeway. The average is 130.
Okay.
So yeah, if you bought it. Because, yeah, so either you can say 130 direct or just 120 and make money. Meaning if I sold it for $150 on eBay, I haven't made any money. You know, fees, shipping, that's what I mean. Like, that's where my mind goes of, like, what can I actually buy this for?
That's a different conversation, though, because if we're saying 120, again, viewpoint is if I could get it for less than 100.
Because,
again, we always talk about applying the 80-20 rule, right? Like, if you're buying something, you want to try and get it for 80% of comps so that you can go turn it around and make money, right?
Hang on here. Okay, so 130. That's a valid point. So 105 you're paying. 80% of comps.
Okay.
So 105 would I buy that card today?
Now it seems like it's more of an option.
The tough thing is, too, though, because I'm trying to go from the point of view of the listener as opposed to my normal view.
Sure, sure.
Me buying at 80% happens, and I can sell it for 100, 105%. So would the normal person go out and just buy this for? I guess that's where I'm at with Dak. He scares me.
I just think, like, going to these card shows, and we should probably just transition to that conversation anyways. We went to the Nashville Card Show on Friday. It was actually—
That is the best show, by the way.
That was a lot of fun. That was a wide open show.
It's a clean environment. The freaking bathrooms are clean.
Parking was close.
Parking was close and cheap. $5 entry. I think there were like 600 individual tables, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was 800 tables.
It advertised it. It was a ton of empties. And in a lot of multi-booths. I think about 500 to 600 actual individual dealers.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's probably accurate. The
show was ridiculously good.
It was great, too, as I brought my kids there. My kids. I have a kid, and then she brought her little buddy. My wife was there. We got to have, like, fun family time because it wasn't just sports cards everywhere. There was a lot of non-sports stuff there, too, both TCG, but also, like, I bought a decent amount of non-sport music cards, which was absolutely a fun. I have not had that much fun buying cards in a long time. Here's the thing about Snoop Dogg. Whoever is listening to this podcast when we're doing our PWCC weekly review and trolling me, trying to buy out the things that I'm trying to buy, not cool, bro. I feel like because we talked about that Snoop Dogg specifically, it got bid up so much more.
How much?
It was like, I think I had my max bid around like $15, which was around the last sale. It was much more than the last sale. The last sale did like $7, I think, for that card. It was up to $30 by the time it's all done before buyer premium. So guys, not cool.
I did not win the Bird Magic Dr. J, the triple auto.
I'm sorry. But you did get a Bird card though.
I got the Bird card I talked about. I got the Panini 1 game used full size laundry tag auto from Travis. I traded him a Mahomes Optic PSA 10 and 1500 cash. So I'm into it for 2600. I would do it 10 times out of 10.
And that is one of those where it's kind of hard to value, though, right? Because of the laundry tag itself.
Yeah. I mean, like the Flawless and a couple other brands that have sold are averaging $2 to $2,500. None of them have a patch like this. It's a jumbo tag.
Okay.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I would pay that. Honestly, I would have gone up to $3,000 if I had to. I was not leaving that show without that card.
Really?
I've never seen a card like that.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I like Bird. I wish it was a young photo of Bird. It's my only issue.
That's what I was going to say.
I had the short shorts, no mullet, no stash. I wasn't thrilled with that.
I was going to mention the other cards that I got, but did you get anything else besides that card?
I got the Bird. It's from 2005 Heritage, I believe. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady. It's got a piece of the actual goalpost from the Super Bowl where they beat the Eagles.
That was actually, I love that they had that Super Bowl.
PSA 10. So first of all, it's from a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Provenance to me means something with stuff like that. Super Bowl, you know, game used because it is in the game. It was a PSA 10. It's a Pop 8 apparently, which I'm not surprised with. It's a super thick card.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it was 10 is pretty ridiculous. I paid $5 for it. Oh. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Price it out before you bought it?
They're averaging raw 150 to 175. Three-time multiplier on that card, I would pay 10 times. And the market's down, so I was all in, no question.
That's awesome. Okay, very nice.
I didn't find anything else PC-wise, and I didn't look a ton. I had Papa Gio with me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at a ton of other stuff. I will say, overall, I was very impressed by pricing. Oh, and I met who's the kid I met? Oh, shoot. I told you he lives in East Nashville. He's a TikTok guy.
You told me about this? A TikTok guy?
Clever Cuban Cards. Maybe we didn't talk about this. I don't remember.
Tell me, what does he do? What's his thing?
Just like TikTok sports card.
Oh, just
content on TikTok?
Just content. Nice. Okay.
But he lives in East Nashville. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's very cool.
I think we should have him on the show one time, actually. I told him that. He's actually pretty interesting. Interesting kid.
I think you did, too. We both ran into Jeff Wilson was there. He was there with his HQ card shop buddies. I don't think we talked about this. One of the guys, one of his partners, because he's doing this card shop with two other guys, a guy named Ryan and a guy named Carter.
Ryan Van Oost.
Yeah.
He used to be a customer of mine years ago.
Ryan Van Oost has listened to every single one of our podcasts. He asked questions in the mailbag. I don't know if it's all the time, but he used to do it a lot because I remember his name always giving me
problems. But now he's got that job, so he's trying to back off?
He still listens all the time, and he just wanted to say he was a avid listener and fan of the show, and we just kind of talked back and forth for a while. I gave him some shirts. He was super nice. I wished him all the best with the new shop.
He messaged me on the 11th. Congratulations to you and your wife.
Aw, what a sweetheart.
Before that, though, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he used to buy into Case Breaks with me.
I went over there, gave him some shirts. They, in turn, bought hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cards.
From you?
No. Yeah. No. They
were set up their whole thing just to buy inventory for the shop.
Absolutely crazy. Which, honestly, like, I think that's one of the coolest things. If you hear, and this is not a plug for HQ, it's just if you hear of anybody, like, trying to start up a new shop, they're going to need inventory. I'm sure they were getting some discounts on it, but man, that was
I'd be curious what the percentage was.
I'll tell you, they were not as interested. Granted, I wasn't going to try and sell them, but I did the other cards I got besides the Snoop Dogg. I got this 1969 Victoria Ray Charles. It's all these are like older, low pop, but also low grade. So that is a PS3. I got a Roy Orbison, also from the 1969 set. PSA 2, the Snoop Dogg was a PSA 6. John Lennon from 1968 is a PSA 4. And then another Beatles. It's a group shot of them, PSA 6. And then I got a little Billy Armstrong and Kurt Cobain, both PSA 6s as well. The Kurt Cobain's pretty cool. I haven't seen this very often. Have you seen this like where they'll do like the two card? It's like it makes one picture, but it's two separate cards. I kind of like how they did that. But
kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the card I bought Chris Vernon at Chicago National. It's the lower half of Michael Jordan. Oh, yeah. The other card is the upper half.
Yeah,
it's a good half. Michael Jordan crotch card.
But like I said before,
my gift to Chris.
I mentioned this when we were doing the PWCC review, was just I'm going to be doing a lot of that, buying some stuff that's not super expensive, but things that I know other people are interested in. So like my granny is getting the Roy Orbison. I think my dad's getting the Beatles one. And then
you're giving that card to your granny?
Yeah, I am.
I had that in the will. Get that back.
You are not getting any Roy.
No, you, I'm saying.
Oh, I get that back?
This is yours? When you die, I get it back.
How about that? What if she passes it along to another grandkid? Because I would already have some. You know what I mean? Here's the whole idea behind that project is spread the awareness and love of the hobby. And I don't think there's many people who are going to go out there and buy their first card. But I do think a lot of people will accept their first card as a gift. And then once they've got one, it'll be easier to buy another.
What is Teddy's first card going to be? My question.
Teddy Ruxpin, the card.
Teddy Ruxpin.
It's a teddy bear. Very, very, very famous teddy bear.
No, my kid will not be buying that kind of crap.
I didn't say buy. I'm going to give it to him. It'll be his first card.
Nah, I'm saying like first experience. Like, what's this kid going to get for his first card?
Oh, what he will buy.
I'm interested if Nashville gets an MLB baseball team, we're going all in. We're getting season tickets.
Nashville baseball. This the sounds are fun.
Yeah, I'm going to need a pro team.
I know.
And I have trouble getting behind the Titans.
I forgot. I did buy one sports
card. Oh, yeah. What was this? I want to look this up because you had some wild ideas on, not wild, but just very all over the place.
Please look it up. And I should say, all of those non-sport cards, that costs $120. I think I really got a really good deal. The guy that was there he said that was his first card show that he has ever set up at. He's just been a long, long time collector. And he just wanted to start. He's like, I have these for so long. I want to start moving them, but I also want to get like some other stuff. So he just used it as an opportunity to get rid of some so he could buy some others. The one that I bought is 1969 Topps card number 162, World Series game number one. It's an SGC 7.5, and it says on the front, Gibson fans 17 sets new record. As you can probably guess why I bought that card, not just because, you know, my love of the 1969 World Series, but also it says Gibson fans. And
of course, talking about Bob Gibson.
Well, we don't know that for sure. But what we do know is I have this card and it says that. So there you go.
What'd you pay for this card?
I paid. Now I don't want to tell you because I feel like.
What's the card number again? I'm sorry.
Card number 162. Card number 162. World Series, win six straight game. I meant to say cardboard portfolio. I wanted to give him a shout out. He's the guy with the non-sport. He's the one all music cards.
I don't feel good about this. What'd you pay for this card? Oh, wait. Actually, I think I have the wrong number. You did not pay anyone near $100 for this card.
I paid $40 for this card.
Okay.
Why?
It's not bad.
What does it go for?
So this is an interesting example. You have one card as a 6 that sold for $85, but then an 8 sold for $53, and an 8.5 just sold for $26.
So I don't know.
I think you did pretty good. That's what I'm assuming.
Here's what I was looking at.
It's
I saw
for
a few
PC.
Things.
It
a
doesn't matter.
7. Actually, it doesn't matter because it's not for resale anyway. But I saw a 7 that was like over $100.
I don't see that same card. That's okay. Doesn't mean I have to.
I'm going
to
pull it up while you're talking about whatever else.
I don't know. I'm not talking about anything else.
All right. So the card show. Oh, and Ryan Card Collector 2 was there too.
We exchanged parental stories.
That was fun. Yep. All right. I think we're new release time. I mean, I don't know.
We're fine. We'll go right and move on.
Okay. Yeah.
The card show was great. It was actually nice. I hadn't been to a card show in a while.
Oh, there was the other thing on the list. Real quick, WWE Panini lawsuit. I love how we were going to try and get Paul Lesko on the show just to do a quick review of the thing because we're not just trying to spend a ton of time on all of it, but he did a deep dive. So if you guys want to know all the details, go to his Twitter page. But he did do a very nice TLDR, which for those who don't know, TLDR stands for, Mike, when I point at you, you said.
TLDR. Mm-hmm. Let me think here. Use it in a sentence, first of all. You can't just throw acronyms at me.
Well, an acronym you usually wouldn't use in a sentence.
You'd use, give me some context.
So he is about to do a brief of what all the lawsuit's about. And before he goes into all of the information, he gives a TLDR about that information.
TLDR. Total.
Yep.
Is that right? You gotta leave me alone here.
Okay.
Total. Not right.
No. I think you already know because that's right. Yeah.
Is it really? Okay. Yeah. Total. Because I'm thinking like an overview.
Yes.
Is it a type of an overview?
Yes.
I think you're lying to me about the total.
I absolutely am. It's too long, didn't read.
Okay, perfect.
Too long, didn't read. So he breaks it down with a quick little paragraph.
GKY. Do you know what that
is? The hearing will focus on whether WWE waived its right to terminate Panini's license. He said there's no real argument that Panini did not make the TCG digital cards. So that's basically, if you weren't familiar, WWE is now trying to sue Panini saying, hey, you know,
you didn't live up to your end.
Yeah, you didn't live up to your end of the bargain, and we want to get out of this contract. Just because the judge says we should have said something within the first 90 days, that doesn't make it right. You guys still should have done this. By the end of it, he says, it looks like Panini was in breach. But the hearing is going to focus on, did WWE waive termination rights because they waited, again, past the original 90 days of the contract before they waited essentially 15 months to make a comment about all of this. And then it says, number two, is the WWE hurt sufficiently that money can't make it whole later? So essentially, that would be the reason why they would need to stop production of all cards right away because this is hurting them beyond any monetary fix. Now, the one thing I will mention that I thought was kind of interesting was that they do talk about the Fanatics Panini buyout in the lawsuit. They're like, when we entered into negotiations with Panini, it was under the guise that Panini was also in talks with Fanatics to be bought out by them. And unfortunately, that deal fell apart in spring of 2023. Just an interesting note. I don't think I have actually seen that in official writing anywhere other than just in comments and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. So, actually, I have not either.
So that was just a quick update. We'll update you as we hear other things going on in that lawsuit world. The last thing before new release, if anybody, and this can be literally almost anybody, unless it has like anything to do with one of the other sponsors we work with, we have a newsletter. Probably a lot of you are signed up for it, and some of you may not even know we have one. If you go to sportscardsnonsense.com, you can easily sign up. It's like a couple clicks. If you sign up for the newsletter, you get a newsletter once a week. Our guys have been writing for it for a while, and we are just looking to get them a little extra cash. So if anybody wants to be a sponsor, we haven't had one on that newsletter. So if you want to be a sponsor of it, it goes, I think it reaches 2,000, over 2,200 people a month and 55% open rate. So just letting you people know that. And I feel bad that we have not been more involved.
It's actually a very good open rate, isn't it?
It's an excellent open rate. It's just that we haven't really been that involved with it, and we haven't really talked about it at all since we got it created. But
I forgot we had it. You asked me the other day. I don't think that's real.
I feel bad because the guys who are doing it, the Johns, have been doing it for us very, very diligently, and we haven't given it enough attention. So anyways, good content. If you guys are interested, let us know.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
New releases. Let's start with the McDonald's thing.
All you.
2023 Topps Chrome McDonald's All-American Basketball. This is you too, bro. This is All-American Topps Basketball. Actually, the only thing that matters in
high
this.
High school, right?
Yeah, but do you Bronny? Know? Yeah, that's the only reason it matters.
First auto?
Bronny's first auto. However, I really do think the whole cardiac arrest thing, you know, while that's terrible and I hate that it happened to a kid, I think it does affect this product in general. I don't know if the hype is as built up as it once was. And so that I'm not saying like don't buy it because Bronny had medical issues on court. It's just something to know. So it goes for $160 as of Wednesday this week. There's other people in that product, of course, as well. But I think everyone was probably expecting him the
he's
most.
He's a chase.
So I don't know. Mike doesn't seem to have an opinion on that. So
no, I gave you my opinion. Bronny or bust, I guess, and I wouldn't waste time with a high school McDonald's product.
Okay.
Yep.
Go.
Go to Noir next, though.
Oh, you want Noir? Okay.
Let's go. Least important to me. Noir, I don't care about McDonald's at all. Noir, very little. It's expensive. How expensive is it? I'm guessing it's savage. I just got the rebuy price.
What's a rebuy?
How much is the, what's the cost in these boxes?
Steel City has them at $2,000.
Yeah. The rebuy price, I thought I read this wrong, was $1,850.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, nope.
Wow.
All good on that one. I like Noir. It's a cool product. How do you go near that product for anywhere near that kind of money?
Well, I figured you were going to say something about it, so I did pull up resale on that product. And this year, since that product has been out, or I'm sorry, since 2021 came out, they have had two cards sell in the five figures, and then a lot of cards, I couldn't count them all, but a lot of cards sell for more than the box price of $2,000. So at least 50 plus cards sell for 3,000 plus.
That's insane to me.
But that's, again, that's insane to you because you're a baseball guy these days. You have gotten kind of out of the basketball hobby side of things.
I mean, we broke up the contenders last week. We still break basketball once a month probably. But this is that product to me is just insanely overpriced.
Well, I think what guys like is like the sneaker thing.
Sneaker spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. The sneaker spotlight guys like a lot. The fact that there are only 10 cards, so it does make it – the chase isn't as crazy as far as like you're not going through a ton of cards. You're going to get something okay. Granted, not everyone's going to get something to pay for the box, of course. But
yeah, that's the problem. There are 10 cards. A lot of people are not going to get anything. PYT, 30 teams.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying go out and buy a personal. Oof. Again, this is still in that realm of a gamble to me.
Oh, yeah. To me, this is a F minus as a personal and a D minus as a break.
Really?
It's way too expensive.
Okay. It's just not as expensive as some of the other ones we've talked about recently, I feel like. Like, there was, what was it? It was an immaculate. Man, I can't remember. There was another expensive product that came out that I guess it was flawless that I don't think you rated it quite as low with a if you were buying into a break.
Yeah, I don't like flawless either, but flawless is flawless.
Yeah.
It's a different animal. Like we pulled a Joe Burrow 2 years ago. It's over 120 grand.
Sure.
That's the difference. If you're going to go chasing and go wild, go nuts, like go crazy.
Yeah.
This to me is just doesn't do it for me. Nice cards. I just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure
I would buy singles, though. I actually like Noir as a product. If it was $1,000 a box and you could buy into it. But like literally for one box, you're going to be selling 30 spots at $65 to $70 a spot. For one box. That's wild.
You know what's funny, though? $65 to $70 a spot wasn't that crazy like a year ago. These days,
for a single box of basketball, it's not great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. For a single, you can get a finest case break for cheaper than that.
Sure.
I don't like it.
Okay.
Some guys do. By the way, a lot of guys do. High-end stuff, go nuts. That's your thing.
I do think like the whole, the sneaker side of it kind of attracts another audience as well. But
even that's tough though. Like I have the Anthony Davis, like a $300 card.
Oh, really?
Like not all the sneakers. So you got to hit like a major, major star.
Yeah. The Banchero one looks kind of cool.
Sure. And a rookie Banchero. Fantastic. Yeah. By the way, what are like the most expensive Noir cards that have sold? You said you had, but who are they though?
Oh, this is for just 2021 product.
Fine. Anthony Edwards.
So the most expensive 2021 LaMelo? Was a Luka auto. It was 2 of 2, it looks like. $13,000. The other one was a 1 of 1 for Luka as well. $10,000 or almost $11,000. Then there was like, I'm trying to see if, okay, Jalen Green is third most.
Oh, big rookie. Sure. Makes sense.
But here's the thing. That was in June of this year, so not that long ago. $9,000. That's a PSA 9 out of 99.
His true RPA. And he's the stud rookie from last year. Yeah.
But I mean, that means there's 99 of them.
Ago. Yeah. I know.
I'm not saying go out and buy this car. I'm just saying, like, maybe don't, like, try and view it from some other people's point of view. Like, maybe there is some actual opportunity. I don't want to make a case that there's... If there's nothing there of value, then I get it. But I think there is a little value.
You can make the case. I'm giving you my honest feedback. Sure. I think it's grossly overrated product I wouldn't touch.
Okay.
And we have some, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. And you'll still have to break it. Yeah. I still think it's crap. I wouldn't go near it.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's honest. It's what it is.
I agree. I like it. All right. Then what do you want to do? You want to do pro debut? Yeah.
Okay. The next two I actually do like. Pro debut. Give me the pricing, by the way. Hobby and jumbo on these.
So I've got hobby. It is $67 for 2023 Topps Pro Debut Baseball.
Two autos a box in hobby?
That is four autos.
In hobby? Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's always me. I don't remember. I love it. So Pro Debut is these guys like in their first minor league uniform. A lot of these guys, like actual autographs.
Okay. No. I was going to ask you, what does Pro Debut mean?
That is the chase. So you're talking about guys from last year's draft product. So, or this year's Bowman even. So like Cam and Arrows in there, mm-hmm. Drew Jones, guys like that. It's a good class. These actually do okay. Go back and look historically at guys like Ellie, Volpe, how they've spiked. And there's some cool vet chases. I know this year they put an Albert Pujols for a vet auto chase. There's a bunch of other ones as well. For the price. Now, this is a product you can always grade your way out of. Literally, you almost cannot lose money on a personal box.
Oh, however, really?
Now this is not for the chase guys. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge product like that, chase-wise, massive hits. It's not it. But for the guys who are going to like hold certain prospects, wait till they pop, do that. So totally different end of the spectrum from Noir. It's as good as it gets for the low-end, long-term investor.
Gotcha. But like the biggest hit, what do you think that's valued at?
So somebody's going to pull like a 1-on-1 Drew Jones, probably a couple $1,000.
Okay.
As opposed to like the 1-on-1 Drew Jones Super Fractor, $250,000.
Sure. You know?
But again, for what it is, I think it's an awesome product. I don't do breaks because it's all minor league, but we will do personals. We got a bunch of hobby and jumbo. You can't go wrong with either one, quite frankly. Like, by the way, Ellie stuff, Ellie from 20, he might have been last year. I think he was 22, might have been 21. When he popped, his debut stuff, like Chrome PSA 10s, were outselling the box like 2-to-1. It was wild.
The jumbo box is $30 more, but it only has three autographs.
But it has way more cards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get all the prospect cards, the color, all okay. that. Yep.
Do the color do as, I mean.
They sell. They don't sell for great money. Like a gold of like a decent star is $25-$30. But again, when you put it in perspective of box price, it's not bad.
Yeah. And especially if you're, because I mean, what are you selling that for? A case, what's a average cost?
So 600, 60 times 12, so 720 a case.
And then the average the average team is what, like $30 something?
So $1,200, so call it $40-$45.
Okay.
Yeah, dirt cheap. I mean, that's what I mean. For what it is.
Yeah.
For the low end, the set builders, the team guys even, like you like a certain team, you want to go ahead and get cards of those prospects without paying the Bowman price. It's an awesome. So in that regard, to me, it's a B+ in both regards. Okay. B+ as a break because it's dirt cheap, decent hit potential for the value. B+ as a personal. Only thing that holds it back from being an A is it's minor league and there's no huge hit potential.
Gotcha. Okay. Next product, 2023 Topps Gilded Collection Baseball.
This one is weird. So this one debuted last year. Last year's price got up to like $1,200 at one point. I think it's still close to $1,000 right now. Do you have last year's price?
I'll pull it up.
What is this year's too? Only like $650 this year, right?
Yep.
Two autos per, like the gold framed and the gold etch auto or whatever.
One gold frame auto and one gold etch.
And yep. A couple numbered base, I think.
Yeah, so five cards per box.
So three numbered base, two autos. Again, now this is the baseball equivalent to me of like a high-end chase product, right? Like the one-of-one Corbin Carroll mm-hmm. is going to sell for massive money.
Last year's product's going for $900 right now.
Which is insane. At this point, with what these guys have done, Corbin, Volpe, Harris, Adley, Gunner, Josh Young, Nolan Gorman, and Jordan Walker, all these guys are still rookies in product this year. There is no reason to me that 21 should be outselling, or 22 should be outselling 23. What do you got over there?
This is Gilded. I was just
Andre Dawson. I remember that card. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andre
Dawson for the auto.
Yeah. For the Nationals. Yep.
Yeah. I remember thinking that I would have expected this card to be worth more. It's because it was like 13 out of 25.
Nah, he didn't sell real well. That's why.
But there's some weight to it. I kind of like
the gold frame. Yeah, it's a nice looking card.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So overall,
I like it. Again, this is
an expensive product.
This is what I would chase a little bit. But for a case, I think it's a $6 case, right?
Oh, check that out.
Yeah, because I think the cases, so you're talking about PYTs being even numbers.
$6, yeah.
Yeah, so about $4,000, 650 times six.
Mm-hmm. 3,900.
3,600, 39. So call it $4,000. High risk, high reward. But I'm okay with this because the three base cards, I know it's not a ton extra, but there's 18 numbered base. Those numbered base, you hit rookies, even those will do well. So to me, this is like a much more reasonable version of a Noir type. Yeah, there's this crazy chase and it's super expensive, but there's at least a little bit more substance there to it. I actually like this though, single box. I would break this thing down.
I am just looking real quick. I'm curious because we did this with Noir. Maybe we should do this more often, especially when we're talking about that.
Highest sales of a product.
Yeah, just highest sales of maybe the last product to come out.
Okay, so here you go. So like last year, the 101 J-Rod Superfractor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Auto, 22,800.
Graded, but yes. But
it's a 9, yeah, so yeah. That's not even a real thing. The Ohtani Superfractor Auto, again, graded a 9, 10 grand.
Okay, so you take out, but what here's what's interesting is like you take out the one Rodriguez card, the $22,000
one. No five-figure cards.
And, well, I mean, the Ohtani is the only five-figure right. card. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Everything else, everything under the Ohtani is $5,000 and less.
Yep.
That's interesting. Okay. But, I mean, still, that's, the product is also a little over a quarter of the price of Noir.
That's so. What I mean. You could get, yeah, you can get a whole case as opposed to two boxes.
Yeah.
Okay. And just like some of the stuff, it's funny, Ohtani, by the way, selling through the roof on that product. Like, almost all the top sales are Ohtani. Good grief. I thought Julio would be in there a lot more. It's all Ohtani.
Yeah, the product seems to still do okay because I'm looking at like the Rodriguez out of 199 auto. It's a PSA 10, granted. That's the most recent high dollar sale. It looks like
2,500.
1,600.
Oh, so I have a 2,500. Oh, back in February though.
Yeah, okay. This one, both, there's actually two Julios out of 199, both PSA 10s, sold for 1,625 and then 1,650 on the 15th. So what is that? Yesterday.
Yeah, I'm okay with that though, right? So you can triple your, and that's just a regular numbered card. I think it's numbered to 25. But you're okay. Tripling your money on that auto alone. That's what I mean. I just think there's, in this year's rookie class, you again, you have way more high-end, top-end talent.
That card was out of 199. Not out of
25. Oh, even better. Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right, cool. All right, so that's your products of the week.
Those both release Wednesday, by the way. So real quick, yes. Just a quick breakdown. Gilded, we're going to have on sale in the Facebook group and on Card Shop Live under SCN Breaks. Starting today, full case PYTs, Topps Pro debut. If you want personals, we're just ripping personals of that. Probably no breaks. Hobby and Jumbo will have both. Same thing. Hit me up, Eddie, whatever.
Then Noir does right come out on the 20th.
We got a half case of Noir. I'm sure he's going to PYT it.
So Eddie's going to do that somewhere?
Yep. Okay. SCN breaks. Half case PYT probably because we did not fill out the case.
And then for all of you TCGers, the Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, there's both sets coming out on Friday. Nothing overly exciting, though, so that's why I didn't really bring those up as
Obsidian,
much.
Obsidian? Is that one of them?
It is not, but the fact that you even know that word is very
Obsidian
great.
Obsidian flames, sucker.
All right, so mailbag time, I think.
Jesse almost got in a fight at a restaurant last night. Tell the people.
I purposely was going to ask you not to bring that up.
You didn't, though, so now I have. So let's talk about it.
No, let's not talk
about
it.
Went to a place called Sinatra's.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of the food? You had a bad attitude going in. Was it because of the food? What
no,
happened?
No, it was you. But no.
Oh, really? Fine. I was wondering. I knew something
yeah,
was
you
wrong.
Had a bad attitude, and it was infecting me.
What happened?
You didn't talk to me the entire time.
Oh, can I tell you why? Hannah said the same thing.
Go ahead.
I asked you a question in the car,
uh-huh.
And I thought you were being funny, and then I kind of and like mumbled it again, and you didn't answer again. I was like, okay. And I looked over, you playing Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I got up, when I walked with Hannah alone, I was like, she's like, are you mad at Jesse? I was like, I'm not mad. But I asked him something once and I thought he was joking. And he was literally just sitting next to me playing Pokemon. I said, I'm going to give him a space.
What was your question? What did you ask
me? It was nothing. I was literally just trying to talk to you. It was a nothing thing. But I said, I was like, I'm going to just let him have some space because I can tell he's irritated at me now because I'm irritated at him. And if we just let it chill. And then perfectly, the guy who was a jerk took all the tension away. We should
perfectly,
be thanking him.
I fixed the situation as usual. Instead of you taking the opportunity to ask, hey, is there something wrong? You could have asked. You could have just said the question again.
Well, there was nothing wrong. I was here till you were playing Pokemon in the car. I want to talk. We're out for a night night out.
I could have stopped. You could have said anything. I didn't know. How am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know? Don't even.
What do you mean, how are you supposed to know?
How am I supposed to? If you don't tell me.
If we're in a car, don't play Pokemon.
I play Pokemon like half the time I'm in a car. And I told you specifically I wanted to be able to play because I won't be driving. It'll be nice. And it doesn't mean I can't talk at the same time.
It was great. However, Jesse composed himself. Guy was a real jerk. I think he tried to get Jesse thrown out of the restaurant.
I saw the look from the host. Here's what's funny. I'm not an angry person 9 times out of 10. But being in the weird mood that I was in because of Mike's actions, nothing to do with me. I am innocent of all charges. Yeah, it was just a weird incident. But it was nice that we came together in that moment to both agree that we did not like the cut of that guy's jib. And if he looked over here, then we might had to have a conversation.
Show was getting postponed. We were getting arrested. No,
I do not choose violence. I choose peace.
That's true. We wouldn't get arrested. We would have got out of there quick. Getaway car, you just walk. All right, mailbag.
All right, mailbag. let's see. I think first question we got to go to Bradley Aaron Muse. He says, Gio, do any of your passwords include the word Brady in them?
No.
Will you tell the people your passwords right now?
No.
Okay.
Fair enough. I don't care for that guy's question. I don't care for his remark either and his three names. No, no Brady, though.
No.
I've actually stepped up security on my passwords in recent years, mostly because of Jesse.
You included some characters in there. That's smart.
Shut up.
They're going to know now. Jeremy Lopez, I think we've actually answered this question before because I think he just has a card that he wants to know if he should sell or not. He says, Monopoly Prism rookies like Keegan Murray, black gold, 5 out of 5, buy, sell, or hold.
I guess just hold. I mean, any basketball, I'd just hold right now. And the Monopoly thing came up with the craze and it was already dropped. So I think you're in a safe market to hold and then sell, buy, sell, or hold based on performance once the season starts.
Fair. Cody James, if a song played every time you entered a room like a wrestling theme, what would it be? What would yours be, Michael? I mean, it's got to be like a Boston or something, right?
Oh, I tell you what, the intro to Glory Days is pretty good. I'd do it with that. I'd go Glory Days, Springsteen. I know it's a hit. And I should be going deep cut, but I'm going that.
Okay.
Or Arkansas by Stapleton, my new favorite song.
Ooh, I love Stapleton.
Or it'd be Jesse, Stop Playing Pokemon. That could be my song.
That's not a good song.
Self-written.
Nobody likes that song. I think it would be like Meatloaf. I would do anything for love. That'd probably be my hope.
I thought you were going to go Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, Bohemian Rhapsody is a pretty much dead song to me. Now, I did it so many times in karaoke, it's kind of lost all meaning.
I hate your new karaoke song.
You do?
Yeah.
You never said that.
What is it? More Than Words.
You hate More Than Words?
You're wasting your talent. It's such, you are just punching down on that song. There's no energy. It's like this emotional.
All right, fine.
Where's the freaking energy?
You know what I appreciate about that? You told me. Now I know that. Now I don't have to just sit there in silence.
Oh, there you go.
And wonder. I do actually like that because I've been wondering what people think about it. No,
I was on the
fence
after AC. And then when I saw this at the Mojo event last time, we got to have Doug and Dan back on, by the way.
Oh, that would be fun.
And I saw this at the Mojo. I was like, you know what? It needs to be said. Because that was a competition you should have won. That's stupid, kid.
Well, to be fair,
voted up some 14-year-old.
Someone who actually had a lot of talent.
Kids
that's not
have
fair.
No business being in real competition.
Especially if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that kid was a loser.
I hate that. Ming Vong.
heck of a kid.
What has been your favorite SSP designs that were newly introduced in 2023?
Oh, he actually named it. The Planetary Pursuits and Cosmic are awesome. Absolutely awesome. We pulled the Adley Jupiter last night.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty sad. It's like a $400 card raw. Pretty awesome card. I love those. I hate the ultraviolet. The Topps Chrome insert, a lot of people are all worked up and loving. It's like the face and like the psychedelic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care for that one as much. The Seven Wonders insert.
Oh, yeah.
I think is finest. Uh-huh. Love it.
That's I do. I think that one's kind of cool. I like the mini mosaic one, actually. It's like the
mini mosaic.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple episodes back, but it's
what sport?
Football? Oh, it's football. Oh, okay. I'm sure they'll probably include it in basketball as well, but it's like just mosaic pattern of the player, and it's like broken down into like tiny little pieces. I don't know. I think it looks kind of cool. Cole Benz, bring back weekly pickups on Thursdays.
My Bird and my Brady.
I mean, we did a Monday, roasted. So I hope that's okay, Cole. Matt Shones, he was basically, I thought this was an interesting question.
One?
Yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, Matt's question is, how are people releasing PYTs of Gilded, and we don't have a public PYT, do we get early access? My answer is no. I don't know anybody who gets early access to a checklist. It is weird to me, Topps and Fanatics have not released them yet. There's no checklist for Pro Debut or Gilded that both come out Wednesday. They've been very good recently about getting checklists out early. The only thing I would say is in a product like Gilded, you could basically make the checklist. Like I'm confident making a checklist tonight for this product because it's consistently been the exact same guys in every product this year of Topps, which is kind of how it should be. I have no issue. Now, Pro Debut is a little different. Which prospects signed, which didn't. That's a little bit tougher, but we're not breaking that anyways.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think anybody gets early access to these things. I've never heard of that. And we have connections at places and I have asked in the past, hey, anything? No, we just don't have it out yet. So, in general, though, your point is valid, Matt. A lot of times you cannot make a checklist for a product without a PYT for a product without a checklist. With Topps Baseball this year, you kind of can. Like Immaculate, difficult to do. Like Immaculate Baseball. I don't know which vets and which prospects they have signed, haven't signed. Huge discrepancies there. Topps Baseball, like I said, I think me and Eddie tonight will have one released. and I would feel pretty confident in it, even without the checklist.
Okay. I actually am glad to hear that, because I was wondering if, like, they were getting information we weren't.
Yep.
Greg, I'm sorry, Alex Warwick, your question was kind of answered earlier on. He just wanted to know what's going to happen to the value of Brock Purdy cards.
I mean, they're in the tank, yeah.
Greg Ferenos, he says, what is your criteria for grading a card? I've heard or read somewhere that if a card is in a PSA 9, if it's worth more than a PSA 9, it's worth the cost of getting graded.
There you go, yep.
And wants to know what we think about that.
Yeah, I mean, in general, like, okay, so if a card is going to cost me $15 to SGC it, I want to make sure an SGC 9.5, I go 9.5 with them, not 9, more than covers the grading cost and raw cost. In other words, if a card is $10 raw and it's $15 to grade, a 9.5 to me has to sell for at least $30, because 25 is break even already.
Sure.
And then I'm taking the chance, if that's the case, okay, then a 10 is a $40, $50 card. So that's kind of a simple breakdown. Raw cost plus grading. If you're going PSA, raw plus grading, a 9 has to outsell that. With SGC, a 9.5 has to outsell it.
Okay, cool. So this guy gives me the pronunciation of his name. It's Dane.
Wrote a book, by the way.
In no way.
He says, you're going with this question.
Yeah, I like it because it's a good question, but okay. It's also a funny situation he got himself
into.
You
switcheroo. I didn't read it, but I saw switcheroo, so I'm already in.
So he says, thanks for reading my question on last pod, but got in trouble with the wife. She demanded to see all my cards and wanted to know how much I spent on them.
Oh, simple. No.
Anyways, new question.
Call Dane. Let me talk to his wife.
He says, best way to protect yourself when selling on eBay. First time that I bought a raw card, it came in a top loader with a tamper-proof sticker at the top. I thought it was a good idea and shared it with the group, but a lot of people thought it was a terrible idea, only used by scammers.
I don't know what that means. Why would a scammer? I don't have
any idea. I agree. I was like, maybe that's there's weird information here. I don't know. But he wants to know what we think about basically using any kind of tape for the top of a card.
Makes no difference. I don't use tape personally. Use a right-size top loader and put it in a team bag. And then protect how are you going to protect it? And even if it's tamper-proof or not, it doesn't matter. Like, if somebody's going to scam you on eBay, they're going to scam you, and they're always going to side with the buyer.
Sure.
So I'm not a fan of tape. I just don't see the need for it. The only time I use tape is we have those little stickers that he sent me, SCN Breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
If I have, like, a big hit, I will cover the top of the top loader to seal it with that. But that's more for advertising and marketing than it is for...
I was going to say, that's a good idea.
But in general, just correct-size top loader goes a long way. It really does. Very simple.
What do you think about the idea of penny sleeving? Because you would penny sleeve before you put in a top loader. Almost, is there ever a time you wouldn't do that?
I don't think so.
Okay. So you put it in a penny sleeve.
No.
You put it in the penny sleeve where it's essentially you would do it upside down how you normally would. So the penny sleeve is going down on top instead of you sliding it in. And then you put it in the top loader normally. So that way you have like a little bit of protection.
But then your bottom edge is just on the hard plastic at the bottom.
But wouldn't that be less risky than the top slipping up just slightly?
Again, correct-size top loader, though, it's not going to slip out. Okay. And if it does, you've got the team bag sealed over the top of it.
Okay. All right.
Do you know what a team bag is? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've got some in the drawer.
Okay.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's just a
bag that holds a few.
No, there's a lot of people who don't know a team bag. Anyways, it's just a bigger bag you put multiple cards in, usually. David Chavez, I wanted to know if you guys like Costanza's role in Pretty Woman. Here's the thing about
Jason Alexander.
I don't like to admit that I've never seen that movie, but I've never seen
it. Why do you
movie.
Not like to admit it?
Because it's a very famous movie, very popular. I like to be up with
the I know like Richard Gere and Julia Roberts were in it.
He is the store owner who does not want her coming in perusing his fine things.
Oh, because, I thought he was just walking around. I know she's a prostitute.
Yes, she
is. I thought he just saw her in there and like got mad that they were talking down to her. He owns a store?
Again, this is someone speaking on a topic that I should not be because I haven't seen it. But my understanding is he is either the store owner or manager, and he does not want her in there going through all the nice things with her dirty, dirty hands because she does
does
a job that he doesn't like.
I don't think so. He ends up dating her.
George Costanza?
Oh, Costanza. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking Richard Gere.
No.
Jason Alexander's a store owner.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's gotcha. Or manager or something like that. Yeah.
That's, I believe that.
Yeah. So anyways, There's your answer to that question.
You could have given me a million guesses on B-roll actors, and I never would have got it.
That Costanza was in that movie? Oh, really? Okay.
I have no clue.
Greg Lansott, any thoughts on Bryce Harper's market? He seems to be stronger than any of the MLB veterans except for Trout.
interesting if he wins a ring this year. Does that kind of like solidify his greatness in this era? It's strong for a reason. He's got an MVP, at least one, maybe two MVPs. Ooh, I wonder how many MVPs he has. I think it might be two. You know, very good player, going to be a Hall of Famer. It's all said and done. His market reflects that. If he can get a Hall, if he can get a ring this year, you know, more power to him.
Bryce Harper has two MVPs.
Did he win like last year or the year before? Do you have years on there?
It does not have the
That's
years.
Okay. Sam Binkle, by the way, fair point. Sprinkling some hockey.
Yeah, we were supposed to reach out to Jeremy Lee again. We'll see if we can get him back on.
Can we do that?
If you've got your phone out, if you want to message him, yeah.
I have his phone out. He's Canadian. Am I going to get charged for this text message like the old days?
Just go on WhatsApp. You can do it that way.
No, I hate WhatsApp. Oh, I've literally silenced WhatsApp because of all the nonsense chats.
But you're in a lot of nonsense chats. You silence the chat that I'm in with my wife and your wife.
It's too much.
It's not that. We message. Well, not even.
We made the story.
Professor.
This kid.
What is weasel. It? Wait, who is that? Oh.
I'm not even going to say his name. It irritates me because he doesn't come to us for a comment, so I'm not going to give him any credit. Calling us out because we're like, oh, there's no conspiracy with Fanatics ever before. I like that he responds on here. Respond all the time. Met this little weasel in person. Would happily talk to you on your podcast, whatever you do. It's just, and everything's always vague.
Have you guys been fighting? Is that what's going on here?
It annoys me when people don't want to comment from somebody. They want to comment on your content. Simply like, hey, why don't you come on and talk about what you said? Nope. Let me just make stupid little comments, again, general statements. I know.
I think you're doing a good job.
Not don't using mention, his name. Yeah. I'm not going to because I don't want any promotion for him at all because of it.
Professor, last Guaranteed. Question. Last Ugh. One. Professor Sports Cards. NBA cards could be hot this season. When does the first NBA product release?
Oh, I don't even know if it's on the docket yet. Pro Uniform 2023, I don't think is on the docket yet.
I will just double check and see if the calendar says anything on Blowout 2023. In basketball, collegiate.
What's the latest 2022 product you see on there, by the way?
Oh, that's another good question. Let's see. That's collegiate. 2023-24 Panini NBA Hoops basketball comes out in November. November 8th, actually less than a month away.
Okay.
So not too long. Then you got 2022 Panini 1-1 basketball, 22 Panini Immaculate. Panini Flawless Basketball 2022. Maybe it's Flawless Basketball is the latest one on here. It comes out in December 6th for 2022.
Yeah, Flawless almost always the last. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you very much.
What's
for
the last question?
The question. That was his question. NBA cards should be hot. When is the first NBA one released?
I saw the second half. I apologize.
He says, make a couple predictions. Rookie of the year, Scott Wimby or other Wimby.
Scoot.
Oh, Scoot, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, Wemby.
Absolutely. Gotta be Wemby. After that.
NBA champ.
First couple games.
My granted, boy Dame, baby.
The Heat game, there was no, like, their all-stars weren't really going at it in that. I am curious what it's like in a real professional game, like a non-preseason game.
Yeah, different vibe. We'll see. But he looks like.
But he looks great.
I think he can score, so.
All right. Mailbag complete. Episode Monday done. Thursday next.
I just texted Jeremy. Maybe you can get him in next week.
Okay, there you go. We have Pete coming from SGC.
He's president of SGC.
President Pete.
El Presidente.
He is coming on Thursday's episode. They've got big stuff in the works. We're going to talk with them. And, we'll see what happens between now and then. That's your show.
Sports, cards, nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. See you on Thursday, and goodbye.